This isn't an issue of politics. It is an issue of ministry. There are people in your pews that have chosen abortion and struggle daily to come to terms with that, to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell a broken soul that has had three or four abortions that thinks that there's no hope for them spiritually, that God hates them, for them to hear a message of hope and love and forgiveness with a repentant heart is a huge thing for people to benefit from. And ministering to souls, lost souls, who desperately need to know about Jesus and know that the blood of Christ covers every sin, including that of killing your own unborn child through abortion.
Welcome to No Woman Stands Alone, a Sanctity of Life radio special hosted by the president of the Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. We in the pro-life community celebrate the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning the horrific Roe v. Wade decision. But that doesn't change the work of the community, of the church. What should the church be doing? Well, you'll hear from a number of pro-life leaders in the next 30 minutes answering that question. To set the stage, here now is Life Issues president and speaker on the Life Issues broadcast, Brad Mattis.
I've often heard that pastors avoid the abortion issue because they feel it's too political. But today you'll hear church and pro-life leaders say just the opposite. The church can be the best ambassador for life. Some of the most effective ministry happens at churches which faithfully proclaim the gospel while at the same time providing help and hope in safe, loving environments. They're reaching women who find themselves alone and unexpectedly carrying a child. They're making sure no woman stands alone. Today you'll hear about a number of those ministry efforts inside and outside the church, which are having an impact on their communities. Our post-Roe world, now more than ever, is at a crucial juncture to make sure no woman stands alone. We must protect life. What better institution to do that than the church? Some have defended the practice of abortion by saying it's a woman's right, a civil right. Well, someone who is very familiar to the civil rights question and the rights of the unborn is Dr. Elvita King. She comes from an historic civil rights lineage. Her father, A.D. King, and her uncle, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elvita is also an author, Fox News contributor, twice elected to the Georgia State House, and a good friend. Elvita, how do you respond to women who say abortion is a civil rights issue?
For many, many years in America, we know that slavery judged human individuals by the color of their skin, and much oppression and injustice occurred because of that. I had little children say to me very early on when I began to speak out as a voice for life, "Well, Miss Elvita," they would say, "the baby's like a slave." Now, I knew exactly where they were going, but I wanted them to explain it because they understood it so well. I said, "How is a baby like a slave?" "Well, the slave can't decide if it will be a slave, he or she, if that person would be a slave, whether that person would live or die, and the baby can't either." Now, the Bible says, "And a little child shall lead them." And so if the little children can understand, then certainly we as adults can do no less.
Then what's your message to both churches and the laity regarding their biblical responsibilities regarding Roe?
It's very interesting to me that now, today, after Roe v. Wade has been sent back to the states, Roe v. Wade did not end abortion in America. It just took it back to we the people, state by state, to reexamine the issues. So I believe that pastors and lay people alike have an obligation and a responsibility to take another look. Many have heard that Roe v. Wade was really bad law because back then it was said that people didn't really know when life began, didn't know if it was a baby. We know all of that today. So there's so much information that was not available. It wasn't legislation. The judges made the decision. When the judges made that decision, so much was not known. More is known. And I believe that it is very responsible to stop and take a look at what abortion really is, and to ask ourselves again, how can the dream survive if we murder our children?
What's your message to pastors who believe abortion is a political issue?
Life is a human right. Life is a civil right. Life is a God-given right. None of that is political. Of course, people make topics political, and we politicize too many things. And the issue of the sanctity of life has been politicized. However, life is a gift from God, and there's absolutely nothing political about that.
Pastor Brad Bramlett knows there's nothing political about that. He's the outreach pastor at River City Church in Lewiston, Idaho, and is focused on reaching the unchurched. One way he does that is by reaching out to those experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. Brad says, show them how much you care so they care about what you have to share. Pastor Brad, do you think it's important for the church to be involved in the post-Roe culture when it comes to issues of life?
Oh, absolutely. I can't even pretend that I understand all the ins and outs of the consequences of Roe versus Wade being reversed. But I know that abortion isn't going to go away because it's state by state. The way that you do the right thing is what all the centers are already doing, is providing the services. So for me, the bottom line is everybody in Lewiston, Idaho can go across the bridge to Washington and could still get an abortion. But I think there needs to even be more of an effort from churches to bring the awareness that it's just not going to go away because some politicians, Supreme Court justices made some decisions. I think you really have to double down because there's going to be more need. There's always going to be more need.
Pastor Brad, the theme of our broadcast is No Woman Stands Alone. How's your church, River City in Lewiston, Idaho, accomplishing that?
Well, so River City has a ministry called Embrace Grace, and Embrace Grace invites women who are pregnant to come and be supported. And what we're saying to those who are invited is that we want to come alongside you. We'll stand with you. Yeah, it's messy. We're not afraid of your mess. And not only will we come alongside you in the initial part of all this craziness, we'll see it through with you. Even after the baby comes, we're going to be there for you. The bottom line is, the message is, you're not alone. We're here for you. We will always be here for you. And so you don't have to do this alone.
Amy Ford is the co-founder and president of Embrace Grace, the program about which Pastor Brad Bramlett was just speaking. Embrace Grace inspires and equips the church to love and encourage single and pregnant young women and their families. Women receive practical, spiritual, and emotional support through their church-based support groups. Amy, you're involved in a boots-on-the-ground ministry. Why do you think it's so important for churches to be involved in the pro-life movement in a post-Roe America?
Well, the church has all the resources and all the people, and that doesn't even necessarily mean financial, even though that is a big part of it. But we have the people on our side. But even as an individual, what talents, strengths, and gifts did God put inside each of us to make a difference to a single mom or to a single dad or a person experiencing an unplanned pregnancy? And I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. But I mean, I've heard just simple things. Like, there was one mom telling me the other day that she lives in an apartment on the second floor and she has a newborn. It's really hard to take out the trash. And so she just would really get stressed out about it. So she would put it right outside her door and plan on doing it in the morning. But someone, she said she didn't know who, when she would wake up in the morning, would pick up her trash and take it to the dumpster. And she was crying to me one day and she said, I felt like it's Jesus. And I love that. Like, just little things like that, it just make a huge difference. I'm married to Mr. Budget and he's really good at finances. And so I have given him single moms that are getting tote the note cars because they're getting sort of sucked into, hey, you know, the just sign on the dotted line when really it's horrible interest rate and they don't have anyone to help them with it. So my husband helps them with their budget, helps them think about their dreams and what they want to do and gives them ideas for career paths. And it's such a huge help because a lot of these girls don't have dads or fathers that taught them how to do that. I've seen attorneys step forward and help with child custody cases pro bono, or people that lead Embrace Grace groups or buy baby shower gifts at the baby showers. There's so much and so many ideas. We wanted to highlight all of these people or organizations that are doing something to help make abortion unthinkable and hopefully to help people get ideas of what they can do in their own communities or to partner with the organizations that we are highlighting. No one told me what a pregnancy center was. And back then, you know, when I almost had my abortion, there wasn't Google search engines that could have intercepted me to get to a pregnancy center. I mean, you just went to the phone book and you went straight to the abortion clinic. If I would have known there was a free resource, that would have changed a lot in my whole life. And no one ever told me. And so how can we help just raise an awareness of all the amazing organizations and ideas to help people on ramp into the movement by using their gifts and strengths? And of course, giving. Everybody can be giving to their pregnancy centers, and awesome pro-life organizations make a huge difference too.
How does Embrace Grace help women understand they won't have to stand alone?
Well, through Embrace Grace, they are meeting other girls that are going through the similar situations. They have leaders that walk alongside them. And I know they're always super nervous about coming to the first class. They kind of feel like there's strings attached or something, and they're very nervous. Just show up. Just show up. I promise. You can leave if you don't like it, but just show up. So all of the leaders are very strategic in sharing their own stories before we even ask anything of them. And what we've noticed is that their walls start coming down. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that lady's story is way worse than my story. And if God did that for her, then maybe God will do that for me too. So it's a really strong connection right from the very beginning. We train our leaders to be inviting them to go on the weekend services. So over that whole 12 weeks, we're trying to get them integrated. The church will walk alongside you forever if you'll stay connected. And we are a church family. Like, we think of the church as the building, but really we are the church.
Heather Lawless founded an Embrace Grace group at her church and has been involved with the pro-life movement for more than 15 years. Heather's life was saved when her mother, against medical advice because of the threat to her own life, chose to carry Heather to term. Today, Heather is blessed with her own 18-year-old daughter and continues her pro-life work through a ministry she founded called the Resource Center. Heather, tell us about the work of the Resource Center.
The center has been open since 2018, and when we created this model, we call it the Hope Model, because we believe that women will continue to seek abortion until they no longer think that they need abortion. So we don't want to make abortion just illegal. We want to make it unneeded. We want to make it so that women don't believe that they need abortion anymore. With being a reproductive holistic health center, we offer women medical care as well as the mentorship and the ability to do life with them for the entirety of their life, not just throughout their pregnancy. It creates an atmosphere and a safety net so they don't feel like they're alone. We have the center. We have a mobile medical unit that we take to the surrounding areas, provide medical services as well as the holistic care, the spiritual care, mental care, emotional care. And we have a men's program where we teach men how to be men of strength. We have a model for a maternity home, housing for women when they find out they're pregnant until their babies are 6 months old, and then a coffee shop where the women will work. We believe that this model of services helps women see that they can do it, that they're brave, that they're strong, and we believe it empowers them to live the life that they were meant to live.
Heather, your ministry stands with women through pregnancy, delivery, and beyond. Tell us about the beyond.
We believe that after a woman has her child, it's not just enough for her to choose life, because if she chooses life and she doesn't know how to live life abundantly or know that she has a community to live life with, we have all different kinds of programs to help her. We have what's called the Hero Mama Project. And so for single moms, we offer them scholarships for school, or we pay for daycare for when she goes back to school or wants to go back to work after she has her baby. And we really want to show them to see that they can have their baby and their dreams, offering them the ability to go back to school without worrying about financial stress is a huge thing. We pay women's rent. We pay for groceries. We pay for gas. We pay phone bills. We don't help them without having them have a plan, because we feel like we don't want to just give them a handout. We have to help them do things differently. Also having a mentor program, you know, they go through Embrace Grace and then they're able to walk with us through classes. We provide life coaching and mental health coaching and counseling so that they can have someone to talk to. Ability for us to be there for them after they have their baby, when they're experiencing some of those baby blues and things like that. So being able to pour life into them and speak life into them and encourage them is also a really important part of what we do.
Heather, why do you think it's important for churches to get involved helping women?
There's churches that say to us, well, you know, we're so honored to help you with what you do. And that always kills me, because the abortion rate is the same in the church as it is outside of the church. what I think churches and church leaders don't understand is that they're not helping us with our problem. We're helping them with theirs. I think churches are afraid to talk about the life issue because they say it's political. Well, if you're a church and you preach what the Word of God says, it's not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. I wish that all churches could see and understand that these women want to be fought for. These women want people to stand up and fight for them. When a church says, no, you don't have to make this choice, we're going to walk with you. And when the church encourages their congregation to walk alongside these women, it just changes things because the women stop seeing church as a place for perfect people and sees church as a safe place that they can go to. I would say 99% of the women that we help say, I don't want to go to church. Those people don't care about me. And so we have to flip that script. We have to get them to see that we do care about them.
Caring about women and empowering them is the goal of Jill Stanek. She stood up for the unborn when she was a registered nurse at Christ Hospital in Illinois. She made the shocking discovery that babies were being aborted alive and allowed to die without medical care. Jill went public and has since become a national figure in the effort to protect both born and preborn infants. She serves as Community Outreach Director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America's project called Her Plan, or Her Pregnancy and Life Assistance Network. The project is helping prepare states to safeguard vulnerable pregnant mothers and their babies in the new Dobbs era. Jill, what do you say to pastors who are hesitant to be involved in the pro-life movement because, as they say, it's too political?
The Bible is clear that abortion is not a political issue. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you. Everybody's familiar with Psalm 139, where David talks about how God created his inmost being. Ephesians 2:8 and 8-10 talks about, I created you for good works. So it's clear that the Bible is clear that preborn children, no matter the reason for their conception, once they're conceived, they are conceived according to God's will, that he saw through the course of time, through the generations, the eons, that he wanted this particular child created for a particular purpose. So churches have to talk about abortion to keep moms away from it, understanding that abortion is wrong biblically, also knowing CareNet has said that 1 in 4 moms who seek abortions have attended church within the last month. So a pastor can't think that if he doesn't talk about it, it won't be there. Then there are the post-abortive mothers who are sitting in the pew, not hearing about abortion and the fact that they can be restored. They can receive healing and forgiveness through Jesus. If they're not hearing about it, they're thinking it is the unforgivable sin. And that doesn't help them. It doesn't help them get wholeness. You know, we also have to cover dads of pregnant moms, dads who participated in an abortion. We also have to offer them healing too. So it's very important that we talk about it from many different angles.
How does Her Plan support women to make sure no woman stands alone?
Well, Her Plan ensures that women won't be alone by helping the helpers. First of all, finding all of the life-affirming helpers, putting them in a directory, and also the other helpers are the Christian helpers, the churches, helping them find resources and ways that they can also help moms. And that's how we do it.
You're listening to No Woman Stands Alone, a radio special brought to you by the Life Issues Institute with your host, Life Issues President Brad Mattis. Well, Brad, we've heard a number of wonderful ideas and great suggestions for the church to be involved in helping expectant moms, and by the way, fathers too. These have been great examples of how the church can be such a superb help to support life. But often there's a disparity between what a church teaches and what it does. Why is that, do you think?
I think a lot of churches, thankfully and hopefully, preach that abortion is bad, that adoption is good, that they need to be involved with foster care. Hearing that message from the pulpit is half the battle. And I think that's a very important start. But I do think it's a very different thing than to have them be proactive in their community as a church body, interacting with pregnancy help centers or adoption agencies, foster care, to make things really happen. But I gotta tell you that when they do, they happen in very big ways, because we've seen churches get involved, particularly with foster care. And we have seen record numbers of families adopt children because of that effort. And when you stop to think of that, every child's life is dramatically impacted in a very positive way because that church took that initiative. It's very much a ministry part of their job and very much a humanitarian part of their job.
Well, it seems like the churches that apply both gospel and grace are the ones that have the most success. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, and those are the churches that understand that this isn't an issue of politics, it is an issue of ministry. And when they understand the benefits and opportunities to minister to people, to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell a broken soul that has had three or four abortions that thinks that there's no hope for them spiritually, that God hates them, for them to hear a message of hope and love and forgiveness with a repentant heart, is a huge thing for people to benefit from. You know, we've talked to people who have benefited from such activity by churches reaching out and showing that humanity, ministering to souls, lost souls, who desperately need to know about Jesus and know that the blood of Christ covers every sin, including that of killing your own unborn child through abortion.
Well, say there's a pastor listening right now, and you'd be able to speak into his life. How would you challenge him as to the church's pro-life efforts?
Well, look, I understand your plate is more than full with things that you are doing, juggling plates at the same time to keep that church running and running well to minister to your congregation. But there are other would-be members of your congregation that desperately need that ministry also. So learn what you can do to impact society as a church. Reach out to your local pregnancy center. They'll be able to give you a wealth of ideas that you can do. And then recruit some people in your church. You don't have to put that burden on your shoulders and add to the burden of what you already have. Recruit others who would be very enthusiastic about helping. And what we've learned is when we give churches that opportunity, they are excited, they are passionate, and so eager to do God's will, helping others. And what we need to remember, pastors, is that when we impact a life in that way, we are impacting generations, because we are impacting then their children and their children's children. It has a ripple effect that only God alone knows where this will go. We are not called upon to know those details, but just to be faithful to plant those seeds and watch them grow.
Similarly, what would you say to the person listening who supports the pro-life effort, but isn't sure where to go or what to do?
Well, to those sitting in the pews, they have a responsibility also to their community, to their fellow man. There are people in your pews that have chosen abortion and struggle daily to come to terms with that. We've frequently found them just sitting literally in the back of the church for fear that God hates them. Make it known as you talk to people that there is hope and healing after abortion, because fathers and mothers who have chosen abortion are everywhere and they are in your churches. And as individuals, we can present information, bring up topics, the topic of abortion, watch their reaction, and if you get one that you suspect maybe there's a lot behind that, provide some nurturing, gentle conversation to go with that. And if they confide in you, then that's an open invitation to help facilitate an enormous amount of ministry work for them. And always be in prayer. Be in prayer for those you don't know, for those you are aware of who are struggling as a result of abortion and unexpected pregnancy. Realizing, of course, that we all are sinners, we all have fallen. And just because we haven't had to deal with an abortion in our past doesn't mean that we are any better than anyone else. Our goal is to minister to them on a one-to-one level that the pastor or congregation may not be able to do, over coffee, over lunch, that one-on-one ministry work conversation, and assure them that they are loved and cared for and that this is a safe environment in which to open up.
Thanks, Brad. And thank you, friend, for joining us for this radio special, No Woman Stands Alone, brought to you by the Life Issues Institute. Our host today, Brad Mattis, returns with a final word in just a moment. Meanwhile, if you're interested in further information on life issues or any of the ministries mentioned today, please browse to lifeissues.org. Again, that's lifeissues.org. And now, once again, here's Brad.
You've heard today there's hope and help available to women and men facing an unplanned pregnancy. The good news is no woman stands alone when the church and its members do the work of the church, assuring repentant hearts of forgiveness and leading young parents in need to the feet of Jesus, fostering a loving, accepting, and hands-on helping environment. Expressing unconditional love is such a wonderful way to help. We hope you've been moved to pursue a program like Embrace Grace at your own church today. And we have a number of helpful resources available at our website, including a download called 10 Ways Your Church Can Stand with Women and Men. That and so much more is at our website, lifeissues.org. Thanks for listening today and for making sure no woman stands alone.